Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
One of the things that, before we pray, that I wanted to mention that kind of came to my mind earlier is when we get together in the morning, we usually about 8:30, 8:45 or so, we'll meet here. And those of us that are here at that time, we pray for the service. So if you're not doing anything about 8:45, come on down. But we pray for the service. And one of the things that Pastor Henry always reminds us of, and he says, you're all ministers. Okay, every one of us is a minister. So before we pray, I just want to remind you of that phrase. We're all ministers. You have something that somebody needs. You have something that God has placed within you that somebody needs. And it's only you that can give it, okay? Because you know a certain person, or you're going to run into somebody that you don't even know. But not just this morning, but for sure this morning, but throughout your day, your week, you are a minister. When you're out there at the grocery store, when you're out there moving around your neighborhood, you are a minister. And it's up to you to just tell somebody how Jesus loves them, okay? And it doesn't have to be, take out the word and say, if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to hell. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. You show them God's love, right? You show them the love of Jesus. That's what brings people in to a place like this. Show them who Jesus is, and He does the rest, not you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You have called this body, Lord, to be Your hands and Your feet, Lord, and Your voice. And so, Lord, I ask that You would bless us with that ministry that You have placed within us. Maybe we've been holding back. And so, Lord, let this be the day that we release the flow of Your Holy Spirit. Let us touch those around us, Lord. Give us the eyes to see who just needs a smile from us, a hug from us, a handshake, whatever it is, Lord, a word. Thank You, Lord, that we can be that person that You created us to be from the beginning. We praise You, we love You, and we come before You this morning with praise and worship, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
How many of you know you got victory already this morning? See, God already paid a price, right? I've been, some of my reading during the week, like it's been a lot through, I'm kind of in a lot of Kings area, right? So I went through 1 Kings, I'm in 2 Kings now. But one of the things that's really stood out to me through a bunch of, it's actually been a while, it's like a string through my readings that I've seen, is that as He's dealing with some of these kings, right, who are descendants and lineage of other kings and other people, right, as He's dealing with them, and you're seeing these kings be set up and maybe brought down or whatnot, right? There's this theme I started to see through it, that when He would talk to some kings, He'd bring back up that He'd be like, I'm gonna win this and I'm gonna take this back, right? The wording changes depending on which time it is, right? But for David's sake, right? And then I was reading like in another portion that was talking about how he was talking, I believe it was to Hezekiah. And he's, you know, telling him that he's going to win a battle, right? But in it, he talks to him about how he's going to do it, and he's going to do it. I'm going to do it for my own glory is what God tells him. I'm going to take it back. Because what's been taken and what's been, like, basically disheveled, right? It's mine. I'm taking it back. And he tells him, there's a part that stuck out to me where he talks about how he says, and some of what he's let happen. He's allowed it to, he's turned the reins, right? Like, but he was talking about how you guys have kind of veered and gone these different ways, right? And what you see as bad that's happening, I'm using it as a moment to turn you back to where you're supposed to be, right? And man, it really hit, because Hezekiah went to him saying, my heart has been perfect. I've been doing things for you, right? And God's listening to his prayer. But how many times do we think, oh, because I'm doing the right things, or I'm going through the right motions, I'm in the right place. When really, we've veered way off from what God's wanting for us, right? See, there's this thing that the church thinks that just because you're not doing bad things, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. But see, God's always evolving and working something in us. And just because you're not out there sinning like crazy doesn't mean that he's not wanting to talk and have a conversation about where he's taking you. Whew, I can really feel this. See, it's not about just going through the motions. It's about the building of the relationship with him. It's about the interaction. It's about going and spending the time, resting in him, allowing him to speak, to give you things. And if you have veered off course, allowing him to say, here we go, let's realign you. Let's turn the reins and put you back in the right spot, right? See, God's always got things for us. It doesn't matter. There's sometimes this feeling, right? Of, well, I already did school. I already went through these things, right? So now I'm raising my kids and I'm like doing those things, right? But see, God's always got something for us. While we're here, we're meant to minister to the people around us. See, and a lot of times that happens through our own life, through God speaking to us, giving us things, changing us, and us becoming even more a reflection of who he is. It shines bright, right? But we're coming to a time where we're attending church, we're doing all the right things, we're in the right places at the right times, we're treating people nicely, we're doing the right things. It's great, that's good. But is it what God's really calling you to and what he really has for you? See, because he's wanting us to be not just existing, but walking in the kingdom, in the things that he has, in the things that he's wanting to give us, in the things that he's wanting to do, in the things that he's wanting to build up, in the things that he's wanting to place us in. All of those things are just, see, they happen through us going after him, walking in not just what we feel is right, but exactly what he's telling us, this is what it is. Does that make sense to you guys this morning? Because it's really what he's got. It is. You're not meant to just exist, to just do okay, right? That's exactly what I was seeing when I saw it, when Hezekiah was speaking. I'm doing it, God, I'm doing the right things. Right? But still in his response to say, you guys have kind of veered, and now I'm using this to pull you back, to show you. And he was actually telling him that he was going to give him the win, right? See, that's the thing. God loves us. He does. He loves us. I love seeing that. Like, he's spending the time, right, to speak to Hezekiah, give him things, but tell him, see, this is not what I had. I want more. So I'm going to reroute this. I'm going to change it for you. I'm going to give you the win, but I've got more. there's something else I want than this, right? And that's the thing. That's what God has for all of us. And the whole, the David thing, oh, I just love that so much even more, because David had such a heart after God, right? Pouring in constantly. He had such a heart after the things of God. And I love that. Even way down the line, when people are making mistakes and different choices than maybe what David would have chosen, right? I just love how God's like, but I'm gonna preserve it. I'm gonna preserve what David did, because he honors us. He does. Because he loves us, right? See, he loves us, and when we're going after him, we're pouring out. It's the same exact thing. He's loving on us like children. And that's exactly what he was doing. All those times, I have this such this feeling of just such a proud daddy, right? That even as all these things are happening down the line, he says, for David's sake, I'm going to save it. I'm going to change it, right? Because he does. He loves us. He loves to spend time with us. He really does. And it's us a lot of times that turn different ways, right? So I just want to encourage you this morning. God's got things. Listen. Don't be so busy in life. Don't be so distracted by the things happening around you that you forget the importance of the time alone with God. The time that you spend listening, being built up, and taking in all the things that he has for you, because they're important. He answers. When you seek him, he will answer. He's listening. Just like he was listening with Hezekiah, he's listening with all of us. When we press in, he's listening to us, and he's ready. He's ready. Hallelujah.
Exactly what Rebecca's talking about. We've been walking through something this week with my family, and as I was walking, I would hear something, or I would see something, or I would feel something, and I kept walking, talking about the Lord, and I'm walking, but I kept responding, and I kept responding. And yesterday, as I walked into some situation, I got my dad and I said, Dad, come on, let's walk. We're going to trust the Lord. And I kept looking at these things, and I reached out, and Pastor Tella said to me, knock it off. Stop looking to the left. Stop looking to the right. Look forward. Look at him. Stay walking in him. And last night, my dad and I, we walked and we walked and we prayed in tongues around the house, and we walked and we walked, and when it still felt a little, and we walked and we walked and we continued to trust him, and we walked and we surrendered. Surrendered, and we continued to walk and trust him. And this disease that tried to come at us, we didn't look at it. We continued to walk, and we prayed in tongues. And I say this to you guys because I come up here and I felt so good that at the end of the day, the Lord put us in a place of rest, in a place of peace. I have people in my family right now that aren't walking with the Lord. And I know that they knew that there was something, there was a shift in the atmosphere. The whole atmosphere, my dad has acres, and his whole atmosphere shifted. And we walked and we walked and we pressed through, and we continued to look at the right step in front of us and said, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We don't know what, but we thank you, and we thank you, and we just continued to walk. And then the Lord reminded me, he says, and this is for everybody, he says, you guys, you know you're anointed. We're anointed, right? And when we used to go around saying, don't touch stuff because, there's germs or whatever. And the Lord said, you know you're anointed. He said, and when you touch things, you leave the anointing of the Lord on stuff. And so like the door handle that you walk into the store, you leave the Lord's anointing on it. And at my dad's house, I touched stuff, and he was reminding me of it this morning. So when I was after last night, my dad said, I said, Dad, how did you sleep? And he said, I passed out. He says, and I slept all night. And this has been something that is trying to come at our family. And we stayed. The Lord put us in a place of rest. And then the Lord showed me this morning. He said, whatever you touch, you guys have this. You guys are anointed. The anointing is Jesus. And everything we touch, we leave his anointing. So then the next person that touches that door gets the anointing of the Lord on him. And it begins to work in them. And the Lord does his whatever he's going to do in them. But he touches them. So I just want to encourage you guys. This is what we just walked through in the last day and a half, or no, about a week or so. But last night, the Lord, we just sought him, and we pressed through, and he brought us to a place of rest. He shifted the atmosphere. He did answer. And I asked my dad, and my dad says, yeah. He says, I trust the Lord, and we trust the Lord. And I want to encourage you guys, press through, and remember to keep your eyes on him. Keep your focus on him. When those things rattle, you keep your focus on him, because we have the victory.
How many of you guys have ever forgotten something when you're going somewhere and you needed something, but you forgot that very thing you needed? How many of you have ever forgotten where you placed something in your house? Something that, well, I'm going to put it right here because I don't want to forget where it's at. And then you can't remember, right? Well, maybe it's not you, but sometimes that happens to me. But I've learned one thing, and that is to trust in God. Because I'll get this feeling walking out the door, and I'll get this feeling like you forgot something. And I would, when I used to work, I would think about it, and I didn't forget anything, and I'd go to work. And halfway to work, of course, I'd remember that I forgot something. I finally learned to listen to that still small voice. Whenever I get this feeling like I'm forgetting something, I wait. And I say, Lord, what did I forget? And the other day, he said, you forgot your wallet. Well, I was going to need that wallet because I was going to buy something. So I went in the house, got the wallet, went back out to the truck, and I got that same feeling again. You forgot something. I'm like, well, I just got the wallet. But I forgot my phone, which had all the items on it that I was going to speak to a guy about in the ministry. And he reminded me that I forgot that. And he's always with us. He's always speaking to us, but sometimes we ignore him. But I'm just up here to say, sometimes if you get that little feeling in there, stop and think about God, and he will help you out. Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to read you a poem I wrote this week. It's about God not being done with any one of us. So we have to think about that. He's still molding us. So we don't have to be what we think we have to be. We have to be what he wants us to be. So this is my poem. You're not done with me yet. Praise God. There's another day to live better your way. There's a process you're taking me through that molds and shapes me to glorify you. Whatever I was before won't define me anymore. You're not done with me yet. You have set me free. No more chains binding me. No more guilt haunting me. And I'm a daughter of the King, and I'm free in your love. You have washed, sealed, and sanctified me. I'm forever yours. You have your way in my heart. I must yield to your change, though at times it feels strange. For you must rearrange my thoughts, something I'm clinging to that's not submitting to you. I must remember whatever I was before can't define me anymore. You're not done with me yet. Everything in this life you will use. There's no way that I'll lose. When I yield to your power, you are with me every hour. You are teaching my heart, and the process may hurt. You hold my hand through the fire, and you won't let me go. I must trust for each day, because you are the way. You're not done with me yet. praise God, and please have your way. I know I'll be okay.
Got sort of a confession to make. When I first came to this church years ago, I came here for the wrong reason. I came here because I wanted to be part of the worship team, and church was actually secondary. So throughout my stay, I learned that that was wrong, that I need to put the church in Godford over my music. So I took a little break from playing. I actually went to another church thinking it would be better, but it was the same thing. Music, music, music. So I left that church and I just stopped playing for a while and tried to relearn myself, which I did. So now I have learned to be a man of God. I have renewed my faith. I have accepted the Trinity in my life, and I am progressing forward. Now I play the music because it's my way of thanking the Lord for giving me that gift when I was a young child. And I've been reading a lot, studying a lot, this and that, about everything. And I told Pastor Henry and Pastor John a long time ago that I wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I didn't really know what that meant and know how to go about it. I thought Pastor Henry, Pastor John was going to have to do their thing, and I'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, in learning, I found out that's not the truth. The truth is, you have to believe. You have to accept the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your life. And once you do that, all you got to do is pray to God and say, God, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yesterday, I did that. I was sitting in my chair, and I prayed. And this is the third time that I prayed for this. And I prayed, and I guess, I don't know what the difference was, but this time, after I got done, I felt a little tingle in my body, and I went, whoa! I guess it worked this time. Third time's the charm. So, any of y'all that hasn't been baptized in the water, you need to be baptized in the water. And learning about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I read that once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will talk to you and guide you and give you what you need. So you need to be baptized in the water. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you'll be a much better Christian than what you ever was.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You never fail us, Lord. You're always with us, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, how many feel that? How many sense the Holy Spirit in here today? Praise God. Hey, if you do, hey, give somebody a high five and then go ahead and have a seat. Hallelujah. We got some folks to get baptized. Amen. Hallelujah. He will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. Hallelujah. Woo. He will not. He will not.
He will not leave you or forsake you. He's always with you. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I don't need anybody coming up to me and telling me I'm old, all right, bro? None of that. I'm not that old. Come on, praise God. I'm young in the Lord. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to take you into the Word, and we're going to look at the Word of God for a little bit. Baptism. The title of the sermon today is The Mystery in Baptism, because there's a mystery in this, in what we do, and sometimes I have noticed that that not everybody understands really well what's going on with the baptism. How many say amen? Yeah, okay, you don't have to, but okay. I was raised as a Catholic. How many of you raised Catholic? Anybody? Any Catholics in here? I was raised Catholic. And I will say this to you, even today, I love the Catholic Church. I really do. And the Lord taught me a long time ago that there's people in the Catholic Church that love me even more than, love him even more than I do. And so he told, those are his words. And I said, well, God, nobody can love you more than me. He said, oh, yeah, well, come on, man. How many say amen? I will tell you this. That the Catholic Church brought me to a certain point, to where I got to a certain point, and then in needing salvation, I couldn't find what I had, what I needed in that realm. And where I did find it was in just the simple reality of a brother telling me about God and everything, and would speak the Word of God to me, and I got saved and I accepted the Lord. I was going to church, and the pastor at the church I was going to, he tells me, Henry, you're a Christian, you're a new baby in Christ. I said, yes, sir. And he goes, you need to be baptized. I said, well, I got baptized when I was little. And he goes, okay. He goes, but in accepting Christ, you need to be baptized again. I said, oh, do I? I didn't know that. And so I didn't realize that there's a lot of things about baptism that I didn't understand. And I still think there's a lot of people that don't really understand what's going on with baptism. There are mysteries in the gospel of Christ. How many do you guys know that? Yeah. The Bible says, could you put up this is the key verse for today's sermon. I just want to get it up there early. It says, he answered and said to them, Jesus answered and said to his disciples, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. He had just got through talking to some folks that some of them were believing, some were fighting with him, some were arguing with him. And so when they asked him about the word, he told them, there are mysteries in this kingdom, and it's been given to you to know them. And I love finding mysteries. I love asking God about, God, I don't get this. I mean, anybody done that in the Bible? Anybody here say, God, I don't understand what you're talking about here. I don't think I get it. And it's okay, because if you tell God, say, God, I really like to know what you're saying here. But sometimes he doesn't answer right away. Later on, you'll find that he begins to answer that question. As you're reading, as you're looking at that, there'll be something that will trigger your memory to that question. And you'll find out that God is actually answering what you asked for. And so these mysteries that present themselves in the Word of God to me when I'm looking at certain things. I love to ask him, because almost everything I've asked him about, he's answered me. And he answers me in simple terms. Can you say amen? How many of you want God to answer you in simple terms? Yes. I don't need none of these real highfalutin, I was going to say archaeology, but I know it's theological. Answers. I just need God, just answer me in a way I can understand. And so he does that with me, and I appreciate and I love it. And I do realize that because I ask him about these mysteries, I ask him about the things of God, I do realize that God has placed a lot of things in my heart to speak to the body of Christ, if that's okay. Because I believe, I mean, I look at a lot of young preachers out there, and here we are with the old thing, there's a lot of young preachers out there. And I would say to God, God, hey, we need young preachers, God. You need to get me out of the way and let somebody else do this. But the Lord is quick to remind me, he says, not everybody is going after the mysteries like you are. Not everybody is wanting to know the things of the kingdom of God like you are. Not everybody is desiring to be changed by the gospel of Christ. Yes. Can you say amen? Yes. How many of you want to be changed by the gospel? That's the good news of the gospel. It changes you. You get changed. Yes. 1979, I was an alcoholic. And I needed change. Amen. And I knew it. And the thing about it, I couldn't do it myself. I needed help. I needed something. I didn't even know what I needed. But when that brother began to speak to my heart, I found that God responded to me in a way. When I asked for change, I got change. Yes. I was changed in an instant. None of this AA meetings, none of that. It was bam, you're done. Alcoholism was washed away from my... I will tell you, I have not had a drink since 1979 when I got saved. I had a taste, I can tell you. A friend of mine was remodeling his kitchen and his mobile home up in Elephant Head. We had all his power out. So we were remodeling this thing, and I'm sweating. It's hot. It's August. And he says, hey, let's go outside and get something to drink. I said, all right. So we go outside. He opens his ice chest, and all he's got are long neck Budweiser bottles of beer. And I said, you got any water, bro? He goes, no, you can suck on the ice if you want. And I said, well, you know, and I figured, well, I say, Lord, I just need something to refresh me. And I grabbed a bottle, I opened it up, I got one taste in my mouth, and it came out as faster than it went in. I'm sorry, bro. He goes, hey, that's good beer. I say, yeah, it might be good to you, but it's not good for me. Here's your beer. I'm sorry. Pour it out in a glass if you don't want my germs. Hallelujah. But I haven't drank since 1979. But I'm a wino. Come on, man. Some of you go, what? You haven't drank, but you're a wino? See, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, is a wine to the people of God. It is a refreshing. It is something that, man, sometimes you might walk around and look like you're drunk. But it's joy. It's full of joy and unspeakable and full of glory. Can you say amen to that? God changed my life. And so there's a lot of things that I just did not understand about the gospel. I didn't understand why communion was important. Didn't understand because everything points to Christ. Everything that we do, everything that we look at in the scriptures, the tabernacle, Moses and all those, everything's pointing to Jesus Christ. The communion the bread and the wine and the grapes, the bread and the wine, it's pointing to Jesus and what he did, and the communion we can have in him if we'll allow him to commune with us. Just taking the bread and drinking that little grape juice doesn't do jack. Can you say amen? No, but wait a minute, what do you mean? It does, it really, really doesn't. If you're not speaking to the Lord and allowing him to speak to your life, what good is it doing you? Can you say amen? Let's get real about some of these things. You got to realize that God sees your heart and he knows us. Aren't you glad he knows you? I'm glad he knows my heart. He can expose me at any time, at any place that he wants to. I found mercy that God doesn't do that. But I'll tell you, he knows our hearts and he knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're looking at. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Baptism is one of these areas that we have kind of, we do it, but sometimes we don't even realize what it's for. What's that? Yeah, everybody gets baptized, yeah. I was baptized when I was a baby. Man, I remember that priest sprinkling that water on me. Shut up, amen. Liar. Yeah, come on, man. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember Tommy's son. Was it, which one was it? Zach. I said, hey, man, those are nice shoes. He looks at me, he goes, liar.
Whoa.
What an answer. No, hey. I remember nothing of that. I don't remember a priest holding me or somebody holding me. I don't remember what we would call my godparents being there. And I'm just saying all of this because baptism is so much. It is something that Jesus said, you know, when he walked up to John the Baptist. John the Baptist knew exactly who he was. Yeah. And he looks at him, he says, oh, he said, I should be baptized by you. You're the king. You're the one. I should be baptized by you. But Jesus said, no, well, this is how we will fulfill all righteousness. You see, Jesus was an example to us on what we need to be doing. Baptism is something that it is an outward show to everybody around you that you're allowing God to take over your life.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes.
How many of you know it's good to have God take over your life?
Oh, yes.
How many of you know that God can fix things that you can't fix?
Yes.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Can I tell you, he can make you forgive somebody that you tried to forgive all your life, but you haven't been able to, but he's able to forgive. And he will pour forgiveness into you like a mighty river if you'll let him. Can you say amen to that? He's able to do far abundantly above you can even ask him for. Anything that you can think of, he can do far above that. So we're going to look at baptism today since we got Leticia, right? Leti? Yeah, come on. Letty's going to get baptized today. And then there's also, let me look real quick. Yeah, there's room for anybody else. There's a lot of room in here for anybody else might want to get baptized. Because sometimes I have found that sometimes just speaking on it, something comes into the heart of somebody and they say, you know what, I'd like to get baptized. Yeah, well, get your clothes wet. It's okay. Yeah, you'll dry off. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. However you got here, somebody might not want you riding in their car for a little bit, but we'll give you towels if you need to. But I just want to invite you that if you sense anything today that the Holy Spirit might be pushing on you, say, you know what? Let's get wet. Because we'll talk about what the significance of it, what it is, what it does for us. Can you say amen to that? It is a little more than just a thing we do and forget about. It symbolizes something that God himself looks at. He's looking at it, and he's watching you. Can you say amen? Woo, hallelujah. So let's go into the Word of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 27. I could read it off the screens, but I should at least start with the one in my... How many brought your Bibles today? Anybody?
Yep.
One, two, three Bibles. Four, five, and six, and the just kidding. Hey. I got on my phone. Hey, wherever you got your Bible, read it. Can you say amen? Just read it. Read it, read it, read it. Sometimes you won't understand it, but read it anyway. Yet you're not accustomed to reading the Word of God, starting Psalms and Proverbs and in the Gospels, starting there. But just start reading. Just start, because I believe that God is speaking more and more today than he ever has. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, well, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, others one of the prophets. And he said to them, yeah, but who do you say that I am? This is a very, very important question. Because this is the same question he's presenting to us. Who do you say that he is? Is he just a religious figure that you were taught when you were young? Or is he a Savior to you? Is he what we would call in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is he? Who is he to you personally? Ask yourself that question right now. Who is he to you? Lord, who are you to me? I believe Jesus was asking this question because there's only one entry into this kingdom that he has, and it's through him. The door is asking them, who do you say that I am? You're my king. You're my Lord. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's the only way you can get in. Doesn't matter how much you go to church. Doesn't matter how much you, what, you know, if you cannot go around Jesus Christ, he's the only way into this kingdom. And you got to know this, that this kingdom rules over every kingdom. Glory to God. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. In Matthew, it says, Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, hey, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed to you who I am. You see, the revelation of who he is needs to come from the Spirit of God, from the Father above, from Jesus himself. When you realize who he is and you say yes to him, oh, it's the best thing you can ever do. Because he came to seek and to save those that are lost. How many of you ever been lost? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Never been lost. Yeah. Never been lost. No, I've never been lost. Rosie and I went hiking in a forest one time, and it got really late. I kept telling Rosie, it's getting darker, babe. I don't know this forest. You know, and they had little tags that marked the trail. I said, babe, and I'm watching there was some of the shadows that you could see of the trees are getting longer and longer. That meant that the sun was coming down. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. I told, babe, we're going to get lost out here, man. Okay, let's go back. It's hard to get her to turn around. I should have taken a tent. But anyway, we turn around, we're going, man. Sure enough, got dark. So we pull out our flashlight so we can see the trail. Just happened to flash up, and those trails were reflected. They had reflectors on them for people like us out at night that don't know what they're doing. Amen. Don't know where they're at. I thought we would have been lost. But see, God never lose sight of you.
Amen.
He always knows where you're at. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And boy, I was lost. Before I knew him, I was lost. Peter said, you are the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no one. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Do you remember this? Peter tells him, not so, Lord. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. This is an interesting time. One minute, Peter says, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ. And then Jesus tells him what God has planned for him. And Peter says, no. It's not going to be like that. Peter rebukes him over, and then I like the way it says it here, because he's talking to Peter, and now disciples are over here. Let's say they're just sitting right here. And he's talking to Peter, and Peter's telling him, that's not so, Lord. We're not going to let you go to the cross. We're not going to let you go to Jerusalem. We're not going to let them crucify you. Jesus looks at his disciples. He turns to look at them. I like it why he says it. He turns to look at them because I want to show you something, boys. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus likes to show us stuff? And he looks at me, I'm going to show you something. and he jumps all over Peter. Is that right? Get behind me, Satan. I mean, I can picture this because I, you know, Liz, can you look up a scripture? It is Mark chapter 9, same chapter, but I want you, it's starting at verse 31 and 32. 9, 31 and 32. But here's Jesus. He looks at his disciples, and then he turns to Peter and he rebukes him. You see, God had a plan for Jesus. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad? He had a plan to die for our sins. So he rebukes Peter, but he's looking at his disciples. And then here in these, and later on, he said, he taught his disciples, said to them, he tells them the same thing. The Son of Man is delivered to the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that, he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Verse 32 says, but they understood not that saying, and were, listen to this, were afraid to ask him. Why do you think they were afraid to ask him? Because they just saw him jump all over Peter when Peter said something about it. So Jesus is looking at them, and he says, Peter said that, and Jesus looks at him, and he jumps on Peter. So those guys go, whoa. They hear the same message again, that I will be crucified. They're going to kill me. And they said nothing because they were afraid to ask him. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Well, I loved it. I don't know about you, but I loved it. I thought, man, you know what? Isn't that the way we are? I ain't saying nothing no more. Hey, I saw who he got on Peter. Sure. That's it, man. See, Peter was challenging the will of God. So Peter, when he spoke to him, Jesus says, look, man, he could have said it a little nicer, but he goes, hey, you know what? You're challenging my Father's will. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. He didn't do it that way. He rebuked them before all of them, and they all heard him. They said, he says, I will be killed, and on the third day I will rise again. Immediately after saying these things to him, watch this, going back to... Right after he got through, I guess it's verse 33. No, I'm sorry. It's 27 through 35. Yeah, back at verse 34 of Mark 8. When he had called the people unto him, his disciples also, he said to them, this is right after he had said that he was going to the cross, he said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, that same person shall save it. Can you say amen? You see, there's something about making a decision in your life to lose your life. Is that okay? This is what baptism is. It's making a decision to say, you know what? My life, God, I'm giving it up and I'm giving it to you. I'm going to allow you to do what you want in my life. Doesn't matter if everybody comes against me, because I will tell you, sometimes when you get saved, everybody, even your own family, are going to think you're an idiot. Is that right? Yeah. They do that. They think, oh, you're nuts. Oh, you're on some kind of religious trip, whatever that is. Could be. Oh. Oh, you're in a, what do they call that? A cult. A what? A cult. Oh, you're in a cult. Okay. Whatever. Hallelujah. All I know is that Jesus came into my life. And he saved me, and he washed me, and he made me clean, and whatever they have to say about you, who cares? Is that right? Yes. It's between you and him. Who cares what they say? It really doesn't matter. I've had a lot of people say, I've had people tell me that this church is a cult. Who cares? Because I know the truth. Amen. And the folks that don't know the truth will actually say things that are untrue. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That's surprising, isn't it?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they don't know the truth, so they say anything they want. Yeah, is that surprising? Hey, people say what they want to say. But people will come against you because of your decision for Christ. I would say, how many of you, being saved, people actually said something about you the first time you got saved, first time you told them you were saved? I had a whole crew of guys that thought I was, they were trying to do things to make me upset. So you're a Christian, you're one of those folks? Yeah, okay, we'll see. But Jesus says this, he goes, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How many of you know it's important that you come after Christ, that you go after Jesus? Is that okay? The Bible says to deny yourself. The Bible says to take up your cross. The Bible says to follow him. He said this right after he told the disciples that he was going to go to the cross, and in 3 days he would be killed, and in 3 days he'd come alive from the dead. And now he's telling them, take up that cross. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. This is crazy. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I like this. How many of you know that it's important that we deny ourselves? Is that okay? It's important that you say to yourself, you know what? I don't want to go there, and I won't go there. Deny that feeling, deny that desire to go yell at somebody or to hit somebody or to scream at somebody, or deny that feeling to lust after a young lady or a young man. Deny those things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
These are things that we need to be looking at. We need to trust the Lord that he knows where he's taking us, and he'll bring us through some things if we allow him. Says right here, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A lot of people, hey, how many of you ever said this to the Lord? Hey, Lord, you get up in the morning, you say, and what can I do for you today? Anybody say that? Anybody say that? I love saying that. What if the Lord said to you, well, deny what you want to do today and let me take you where I want you? How many would say, yeah, cool. Oh, well, Lord, but I was going to go to the movies today. Oh, Lord, I was going to go watch a baseball game. Oh, Lord, I had plans already. You know, maybe I can do that later. No, the Bible says to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him daily. Because I will tell you, if you will do this, God will lead you in the best place that you never even expected. Can you say amen? See, it's because we have gotten so far away from the Lord and allowing him to lead our lives. What happens is we things come upon us and they happen to us, and then we're crying before God. God, why would you let this happen to me? Because you know what? I'm trying to show you that you're choosing your way over mine. Can I say this to you? Self. You're choosing the God of self over the God that created us. That's a danger. There's got to be a point in our lives where we said, God, I'm just giving it all to you. And I'm not messing around either, God. I want what you have for me. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If you're a Christian, look at these scriptures. You just need to know this. He said, take up your cross daily. See, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that a good scripture? You see, the Bible considers you dead. If you gave your heart to Jesus, the Word of God and the Lord considers you dead. You see, I'm going to tell you what God looks at this thing. He looks at this thing as a tomb. Did you know that? This is actually a tomb. Somebody had told me that, and when I first got saved, I would have gotten a little scared. And I said, what? What are you talking about? But see, we are asked to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. What cross? The cross of Christ. You see, you were crucified on that cross with Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, and you believe that, you died on the cross with him. Can you say amen to that? 2,000 years ago, where were you? You're in his heart and in his life, and he knew you 2,000 years ago, and he died for you. Can you say amen to that? That is a beautiful thing, because God knows everybody, and he knows all the way into the future and all the way in the past. Hallelujah. You died. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature.
Yes.
I don't know why it says creature, but you're a new creature. You're a new creation. Is that okay?
Amen.
In baptism, the symbolism in the baptism is when you're standing in the water and then you go under the water. It is a picture of death. That's why I said it was a tomb. But aren't you glad we don't hold you underwater? Pastor John has tried, but we don't hold you underwater. We bring you back up, which is actually a picture of you coming out of the tomb. Is that okay? Being raised again. Is that okay? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When you come back up out of the water, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. What old things? What old things? Yeah. Old things, right? Passed away. What does that mean? Yeah. We usually know what it means when somebody, he passed away. Yeah, he died. That's what happened. You died in there. Old things passed away. And when he brings you up, everything's brand new. Is that okay?
Yes.
Ooh, come on. Brand new stuff. You're in a brand new world. How many remember when you got saved that things changed around you? Everything seemed cool. Everything was different. There was life and everything. That's the way it happened to me. I didn't have to drink anymore. My wife didn't believe it. She couldn't believe it till a couple of weeks later. She goes, you really did. Something changed you. Yeah, I'll tell you, something changed. I'm a new creature in Christ. But I didn't know how to walk. I didn't know how to walk this walk with Jesus. I had to learn it. I had to walk with him. I had to let him show me things. I had to go through things where I needed serious instruction. Can you say amen to that? You ever gone through something you needed serious instruction? That's what I needed. And he gave me instruction. And he gave me out of his word. He taught me out of his word on everything that I was experiencing. He would bring a word to me. I said, oh my God, he never left me, never forsake me. All things become brand new, but you don't know. You're a baby in Christ. You're a baby in Christ. So you need God to teach you and show you things. The Holy Spirit has been sent to do just that for you, to lead you and guide you and to help you in the Word of God. Romans 6, chapter 1 through 11. Check this out. I love Romans 6. It's a real good chapter. You need to go home and read it, because it's going to talk to you about who you are. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Everybody? No. That grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin, dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were, what? Baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his what? Into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We get raised up. Is that correct? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you see that part right there? He says, I'm making you part of my resurrection. That's what he's saying. You took part in my death by going underwater and coming up out of the water. You are taking part of my resurrection. Is that okay? Beautiful thing here. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Can you say amen to that? How many of you want those things that are in you to be dissolved and to be destroyed? Can you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit comes to do just that. And Saturday we had the men's meeting. We were talking about how God will go down into the deepest part of your heart. And Oscar was talking about how that God got down into the deepest part of your heart, of his heart, and showed him some things. And we were talking about what's that called? The bunker buster or something like that. Yeah. The bunker buster. You guys heard of the bunker buster? It is a bomb that they created just to go after some of these guys in Iran, and they went after them with this bomb. It's probably, Terry was telling me, how many pounds, Terry? Where are you? 30,000 pounds, and it takes a bomber that can only carry two of them because they're so heavy. Is that right? B-1 bomber? It's a B-1 bomber. Anyway, this bomb, when they drop it, it goes into the ground and continues to go down into the ground till it finds a void, which could be like a tunnel or maybe a room or something, and then it goes off. Boom. And then they send another one right after it. And it'll go deeper. And find another one. Boom. It's one heck of a strategy, wouldn't you say? Because those guys are probably buried in pretty deep. Can I tell you that sin can get deep within us? And God's word is like a bunker buster. Yes. Can you say amen to that? Yes. Lord, give me a bunker buster today, man. Let your word be a bunker buster in my life, God. Clear me up of all the things that might be troubling me. Can I tell you that forgiveness is something that people, sometimes they think they've done, they're good with it, they think they've forgiven, but all of a sudden something happens and it triggers that thing and they're right back in the same place. And you guys know what I'm talking about? It can be with anything. It could be with lust. It could be with hate. It could be anything. We need bunker busters. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit? Boom. Anyway, simply. Verse 11, it said, knowing that this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. How many say amen?
Amen.
For he that is dead is freed from sin. Is that what it says?
Yes.
He that's dead, you're free from sin. Can I tell you that if those people that are in those graveyards out there, they ain't sinning anymore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can anybody agree with me? Now it says that he that is dead is free from sin. See, now when you go underwater, you die. So you're dead. And when you come back alive, the Bible says it's given unto man once to die, one time. That's what he's talking about right there. Leaving your old life and coming back brand new.
Amen.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. I love that one. He says, for in that he died unto sin once. Amen?
Amen.
But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, it's in that same way, reckon. Does anybody know what reckon means? What does reckon mean?
Be right.
Consider. Reckon.
Well,
my next door neighbor, Mr. White, he's from Texas. He's the whale, I reckon. Hey, Rodney, let's go down to the store. Well, let me ask my dad. He go ask, hey, Mr. White, Dad, can I go down with Henry down to the store? And he goes, well, I reckon. Yeah.
I guess.
It means to consider yourself. Reckon yourselves dead. Amen?
Amen.
indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. You're quickened. When God gets a hold of you, he's been quickening you the whole time. Do you know that? Do you realize that it takes the word of God to get you to God? Do you know that? God draws you by his word. Do you know that? Hallelujah. His spirit draws you. The grace of God draws you, but he draws you by his word, because he has to use his word to draw you in, because God never lies, and he will draw you in by his word. Huh? He has to. That's the only way he can get you in. His word also happens to be Jesus himself. Can you say amen? Oh, man, I hope you're getting this, because, man, I'm getting all fired up here. When I jump in the water, it's going to be boiling. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on, man. I said maybe this is my message. Maybe God's talking just to me, and you guys will just get to... Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Psalm 119, verse 50. Look at this. Because God wants to quicken you, and he quickens you to get you to him. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has quickened me. You see that? It's his word that quickens us. Another Psalm 119, verse 93 says this. I will never forget your precepts. Can you say amen? Don't forget God's word. If God writes them on your heart, I'm going to tell you something. You will not forget it. When the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he etches it upon your heart. When he moves it from your brain to your heart, you will never forget. It's going to be your favorite scripture. I must have 1,000 favorite scriptures. This right here is my favorite scripture. I love God's word. He writes it on my heart. And he says, I will never forget your precepts, for with them, what? With his, how does he quicken us? By his word. With them, you have quickened me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 through 36. I know I'm giving a lot of words out, but I believe that if you realize what this thing is, it is an instrument to get you out of the old and into the new. Is that okay? 1 Corinthians 15, 33 through 36 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, and that word communication means fellowships with people that you know, it can corrupt good manners that you've learned from the Lord. It can. So don't be deceived in that. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And then he says, awake to righteousness. Don't sin. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, well, how are the dead raised up? You see, I'm telling you this morning, when Leticia goes underwater, the dead is being raised. Is that okay?
Yes.
Are you okay with that, Leticia? Don't get scared. Yeah, you're not going to die down there. But you're going to die down there. You're going to die, but you're not going to die. How's that? Amen. How are the dead raised up? It says, and with what body do they come? And then he says, you fool. Don't you know that which you sow is not quickened except it die? You see, a seed that goes in the ground has to die. And then when it dies, the water gets on, boom, it begins to grow. That is a law that God placed into the earth in harvest and all these other. That is a law. And that's the same law that operates in us. We die. And then all of a sudden, when we're raised up, boom. Now all the joy and the peace and the love of God begin to flow out of that person, out of Leticia when she comes up out of the water. Come on. Even though it's coming up now, but when it's gonna get better. Amen? Come on, okay. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 through 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Can you say amen? Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. See, when I got saved, I was corrupt. Is that okay? Look at your neighbor and say, I was corrupt. But when you got saved, you're raised into incorruption. Is that right? sown in dishonor. Is that right? I know that when being an alcoholic was not an honor in my life. It was my mom that told me, I told your wife to divorce you. Thanks, Mom. Sown in dishonor, and it says raised in what? Glory. See, this is what dying to yourself and being raised for the Lord is what it does. It is sown a natural body, it's raised, and it's raised a what? What kind of body? A spiritual body. I like this part. You might not know this, but you're looking at a spiritual body. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're a spiritual body, aren't you? Yeah. Hey, there's something about you. I think you're spiritual, aren't you? See, we're sown a natural body, whoosh, but raised a spiritual body. Because now you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You're a citizen. You're a son of God. A spiritual body on the earth. Can you say amen to that? There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. This is the last. Everybody go. This is the last scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. Let's check this out. Just check this out. You have he quickened. Anybody that loves the word of God, God's been quickening you and quickening you and quickening you. You he has quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Is that right? There were all sinners. Is that what the Bible said? There was not one righteous, not one, but there's a bunch of us now. Can you say amen to that? Whom we had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Everybody say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Can you say amen to that? He's a merciful God.
Yes.
For his great love that he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together in Christ. For by grace you are saved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's a merciful God and he loves you. And he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Do you see that part? He's raised you up and may see you are a spiritual body. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a spiritual body. You're not a natural body. You're a spiritual body designed to walk as God designed us. Can you say amen to that? I was talking to brothers this morning and I said, you know, what language did God talk to Adam in the garden? What language was that? Aramaic?
Spanish?
What language was God using to talk to Adam? There was only one answer. It was a spiritual language. It's God the Father, the Spirit, speaking to Adam, his spirit man on the earth. English wasn't invented. Not even Spanish was there. Yeah. Aramaic? None of those. It was a heavenly language. God speaks a heavenly language. How many say amen to that? That heavenly language comes only into a new creature. Can you say amen to that? That language that comes down from heaven comes only into a born-again person. Can you say amen to that? Oh, yeah, hallelujah. And what that language does, it opens a floodgate between you and the Father. And things that you speak to the Father in that language that he gives you, ha-ha, oh, man, you're going to see some things happen. Glory to God.
Yes.
This is the reason that we are to die and to be raised up again. Amen?
Amen.
Stand real quick and we're going to pray. And then John and I are going to go change. And then we're going to come back out and we got 5 minutes to do this in. Yeah. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that God, this was not only a word for those that don't know you, Father. Not for Father, God, this is a word for those that know you. That we have been crucified with you. And our life now with you. We live by your faith.
Yes.
And we thank you for that, Father. Father, I ask you that you would take this word and Lord, imprint it into the lives of these people this morning. Father, raise the dead. Raise the dead. Father God, let there be bunker bombs in our lives that remove the things that are contrary to you from our lives. God, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Hey, have...
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.